Did you ever think about how the Torah is related to you? We have the Parsha. The Parsha always have themes, concepts, ideas. And how often do we take all these ideas, the myriads of halachas and complicated topics, and tie them back into our lives? We have, in this week's Parsha, the Count of Levim. We don't really have the Count of Levim because in the end of Bamidbar, we had the part of Shevet Levi, which is Kahas, the Nisei Aaron, who were in the end of Parshas Bamidbar. And then we go to Parshas Nasai, and we have Gershon and Merari. Why do we split up the Levim? But even when we split them up, the Torah relates to it in a specific fashion, and the Lashon of the Pasuk is, Nasai Ezroish B'nei Gershon, count the heads of the B'nei Gershon, Gam Heim Levesa Voisel Mishpachosam, also them. So on the one hand, we have a separation in the Parshias. On the other hand, we have a connection. So what's the connection? It's like you're trying to distance, but you're trying to bring closer. What are the two aspects over here the Torah is trying to tell us? After that, we have the fact that we send out all the impure people from all the camps, the Zav, Zavatam, and Mace, all the various levels of impurity from the camps. And that, we can understand the context of that, because here we're talking about making the Mishkan, inaugurating the Mishkan, and Levim serving in the Mishkan, so you have to get all the impurities out before you really kick the Mishkan into high gear. Okay, but then you move on from that. You just skip really to the end of the Parsha. The end of the Parsha has to do with the Nesiim bringing all the amazing gifts. Why before the end of the Parsha do we have 70 psukim of various different complicated topics? We go into Gezel. What does Gezel have to do with anything here? You went from counting Levium to clearing out the camp of all the impurities that we could get. Then you go to Gezel and Matnas Kuhuna. And not only Gezel stealing, but stealing from the Ger, the convert, the one who came in. You have someone stealing from him. And what are the halachas that they steal from him that they were still return money to the Kayin? What does that do with anything? How is that relevant and connected to the previous part of the Parsha? And then from there, you go to Saita, which Chazal tell us, and you have to understand what this means, that someone who doesn't give Matnas Kuhuna at all, their wife is going to become a Saita. So again, if you don't give Matnas Kuhuna, you're going to become a Saita. So then, okay, we understand the connection, because talked about Gezel. Gezel was talking about Gezel Ager as well, and the Matnas Kuhuna, giving back to the Kayin if you can't get back to the Ger. So then that will connect to Saita. So first of all, that in itself is a very, very difficult parsha. For what reason if a person doesn't give Matnas Kuhuna, he doesn't give the proper trumas and meisers, all the things he needs to give, now his wife's going to become a Saita? I'm saying, maybe he's a cheap guy. Maybe he will say he'll lose some of his parnasa, which is what some of the farshim explain, why that his wife's going to become a Saita. Look at the Gain and other farshim. Fine, we can get that there maybe is some technical connection, but what's the deep understanding of how the flow of the Parsha works? Gezel seems so strange and random, out of place. Then you move on to Saita. Okay, strange. What do we go after Saita? Saita goes on to Nazir, the Nazirite. Someone who abstains from wine, from Tumah, from cutting his hair. He's an uplifted person. What does that have to do with Saita? Chazal tell us that anyone sees a Sota Bilkulkula, a Saita, when she is in her bad state, if Chas V'Shalom, she drinks the water, then she goes down, they're going to become a Nazir. So what's the connection, really, in the deeper way? Why does that make him a Nazir? What is that telling him about himself? That he sees her, now he becomes a Nazir. There's the general pshat. And the general pshat is, famously, from the understanding of Rashi, and it's a famous Baal Shem Tov, that when a person sees something negative in someone else, it's not really something negative in someone else. It's something reflective on someone else to themselves. When you see something bad in your neighbor, you're really seeing something bad in yourself. It's a reflection of you. It's a mirror. You're looking back. Oh, that's something in me. It causes self-introspection, so tells us the Torah. That you have to go and look at yourself. That you have to say, I should not judge others, I have to judge myself. This is a lesson of the Baal Shem Tov. And it's a true, beautiful lesson. We have to live it. We have to have self-scrutiny, self-judgment. Not putting yourself down. But look at yourself, what you're doing in your life. And then when you see the Saita B'Kukula, you see her giving into her evil desires, her negativity, her darkness. Then you have to say, well, why did I see that? Because it's something about me that has to do with that. Okay, fine. That's very, very true. But seemingly we can take something more out of it. Question is, what is that? After Nazir, then you move on to the Parsha of the Nisiyim, the people who brought all the gifts. And they first brought wagons, and then they brought individual gifts. And it happens to be the longest parsha, the entire parsha is Nasai. But the overwhelming majority of parsha Nasai is repeat psukim of the Nisim, of the head of each Shevet, giving the same gift over and over. Just same gift, different person. Same place, different person. What's the Torah trying to teach us? What were they doing? And this thing that they were doing is so chashiv. In Parsh Baal Leischa, it says that Aaron was chalash, he became weak. He wanted what they had. They gave these gifts. They gave these karbanas. They gave these sacrifices. So what were these karbanas? What's going on? If we look at each of these parshas individually, each of these parts of the parsha, these sections, we find astounding things. For example, by Saita, the Saita, the wayward lady. What's going on with her? She gets the dust of the Beis HaMikdash put inside her drink. The Shem Hashem, Hashem's holy name is machak, is erased. Normally an Isser, a prohibition, in order that she should have shalom with her husband. And then all the Mefarshim point out that this halacha is the only halacha which is dependent on an open miracle. How do we know she's guilty? She blows up. Her stomach collapses, her leg collapses. What's the Torah doing here? That for a woman who is a wayward woman, she's going off the path and not just, it's not a Jewish thing. We'd say a higher level of value, Torah, imposing upon us restrictions to bring us closer. This is a basic world thing. This Shabbat mitzvah b'nei noach. You don't stray away from your husband. So if that's true, why is the Torah here in this most basic place performing a miracle? This is where you choose to perform miracles. Lashon Hara, we can understand. Lashon Hara is something extreme sensitivity where this tzaras, that is the halacha itself. But here, we don't know if she's guilty unless she dies miraculously. Why here is the Torah giving us a miracle for her, for this lady who went off? We should have a miracle. Someone who gives tzedakah. Someone who gives tzedakah, he should automatically get something dropped in his hand to give him a life elixir. Someone who's mechabed atam mechacham, he should have money fall down in the sky, rain upon him. Let's create miracles for the good people. Why for this lady who's so off, so astray, so challenged, her, she's the one we create the miracle for. Seems so counterintuitive. Lehepich, the opposite. It's illogical. We have a certain intuition. You do good, you get good things. You do bad, you get bad things. But the intuition doesn't tell us that you do the worst, most basic, inhumane acts. And that's where you're going to experience miracles? What is pshat in that? You come to the Nazir, and the Nazir himself is so, so, so complex. The Nazir, at the end of his Nazirus, does something very strange. He takes his hair, and he puts it underneath his carbon, the carbon shlamim, and he burns it. He's sacrificing his hair now? We do such things in Judaism. We know we have regular karbanas. We have money. We have food. What's he doing in sacrificing his beautiful hair, putting it under the fire of the carbon shlamim? What does that tell us? In addition, the Nazir has a few very interesting things that happen at the end of it. First of all, it says that when he comes to bring his carbon, he's Yavi Oisoi, which means he is brought to the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, to bring his carbon. Now, the Midrash says Yavi Oisoi, someone else brings him, he himself brings himself. So he himself brings himself. What does that mean that he himself brings himself? You would say, he goes, Yavi Oisoi, someone brings him. It really means he brings himself. So why doesn't Torah talk straight? Talk to me, tell me how it is. None of this poetic stuff. He brings himself. He brings himself. So say that. Say, he goes. Say, the Nazir goes. Halach. What's Yavi Oisai that he shall be brought as if someone else is bringing him? When really is he bringing himself? Torah shouldn't talk in these funny ways. What's it trying to teach us? In addition, the Nazir, when he finishes, the Lashon of the Pasuk is V'hishbi'a Kohen es, I'm sorry, the Lashon of the Pasuk is that the Nazir, HaNazir Shoyse Yayin, that's when he finishes up the whole Nazirus, it says the Nazir drinks wine. Now, what does that mean, the Nazir drinks wine? He finishes Nazirus. He is no longer a Nazir. It's gone. Finished. Finito. He can finally cut his long hair. He can drink wine. He can go to his sister's funeral, which he couldn't do as a Nazir. What does it mean, the Nazir drinks wine? When you piece all these things together, there are some unbelievable lessons which we'll try and bring out. And the Torah here is teaching you a lesson about yourself for life. What is that lesson? I had a friend who was in the Adelphia Yeshiva. This friend was a little bit of a wild guy, you know, not the easiest kid. And he, one weekend, wanted to go away on a certain Shabbaton. And that Shabbaton didn't really fit with the yeshiva's guidelines about what one of the bachurim is allowed to do, and especially on an in Shabbos. So it's a double breakage of the rules. One, it didn't fit with the yeshiva's guidelines, it wasn't their hashkafa. And in addition to that, it was on in Shabbos anyway, so for sure he couldn't go. But he had paid for the Shabbaton, and therefore he said, okay, I'm going. Even though the yeshiva's not going to let, I'm going to sneak out Thursday night. No one's going to know. Be away for Shabbos. They'll have no idea. And I'm going to have a good time. I'll come back Sunday morning. What happened was he went on the Shabbaton. And on the Shabbaton, he got sick. And he went to the hospital. In the Adelphia Yeshiva, the main Rebbe Mashkiach there was Rabbi Trank. Zatzal. And Rabbi Trank heard about what happened to him. He heard that he was sick. So Sunday, even though this boy had left the yeshiva, missed the Shabbos, was not in yeshiva currently, Sunday, Rabbi Trank went with a group of boys to visit this bachur. Now, there were two amazing things about the story. When Rabbi Trank came in with all the bachurim, this bachur who was ill was taking off his tefillin, and he was just finishing up davening, and he had the TV on from before. He was watching something, because they have a TV in the hospital. He said when Rav Trank came in, he was on the bed over there. TV was over here. Rav Trank walked in and turned his back to the TV the entire time, showing the boy that he's not looking about what he's doing. He didn't turn around for 1 second, make comment, didn't look what was on there. Talmud his yeshiva, who was not supposed to be watching TV, was not supposed to be doing these things, was. Rav Trank was right there in front of him, didn't say a word. So Rav Trank said hi, wished him for Shalema, brought the boys, and then Rav Trank left the room. The boys are with him. The boys said, by the way, you don't know what happened when you were gone. He said, what? He said, Rav Trank came in the Beis Medrash on Friday morning, went over and put his head down. And he just slept and slept and slept and slept. When he woke up, the boys asked him, why were you so tired? Rav Trank explained that when this boy, let's call him Yosef, had left that Thursday night, Rav Trank realized he was missing. So Rav Trank went around to all the spots around the yeshiva the entire night. Every movie theater, every pizza hangout, every chalent place, searching for this boy to make sure he was okay. And after searching for the entire night and not finding him, only then did he come to his medrash for the morning seder on Friday and pass out. When this boy heard this, he broke down in tears. He said, not only did I leave the yeshiva when I wasn't allowed, not only did I go to somewhere where he didn't let, but I broke his trust for someone who cares about me so much. He realized at that moment that there was someone in the world who cared about him more than anyone else, and not because of his actions, not because of how good he was in what he was doing, but because of who he was. He's a Jew. He's a Talmud. And he is someone that has to be cared about. And therefore, the Rebbe, his Rebbe, Rabbi Trank, went searching around for him the entire night, searching to bring him back, searching to pick him up, searching to give him a hug and show him he's important. We come to this week's parsha, and we have the Saita. Hashem says to the Saita, I will erase my name for you. You think you're unworthy? You think you've fallen far? Your husband warned you, don't go with another man, don't seclude with him, and you did? You think you can't come back? I, Hashem, am here in this world, Malach Ol Haaretz Kevodei, and I'm here to tell you one thing, Saita. I will erase my name for you so there can be shalom between you and your husband. What happens when there's shalom in Ish V'Ishtai? The Shechina is Shaira. Hashem's presence rests in the home. That means Hashem is with you. That means Hashem's spending time with you. He wants to have the connection with you. Hashem says, I will erase my name to create that shalom. I will erase my name to create that connection. I will erase that name so you can know you are worthy no matter what you did. She doesn't take the hint. The Midrash says in Bereishis, when it says Vayhi Or, it says Elohim, it says Hashem's name, but it doesn't say on Vayhi Choshech. Ask the Midrash, why does it not say Elohim Vayhi Choshech when it becomes dark? Explains the Midrash, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not put his name on darkness. Hashem does not put his name on bad. Hashem only puts his name on light, positivity, and good. Asks Rav Tzaddik, why do we put the Shem Hashem, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, on the Saita? And it says, the law says, to give her. What's going on? Explains Rav Tzaddik that similarly, by the Teichacha, by the rebukes, by Hashem coming against Klal Yisrael, it says Yud Kei Vav Kei. Even though it seems to me we don't put the name of Hashem in darkness, on bad, on negativity, like the Midrash says. Explains of Tzaddik. Because the Teichacha, the Saita, when we put our name, Hashem's name, the Shem of Shemayim, on those bad things, when Hashem puts his name on the Saita, on the Teichacha, on the rebuke, it's saying to Yidden, to Jewish people, that I love you. I value you. And I will push you to come close to me. When I give you the Teichacha, when I give you the rebuke, it's saying, please come back to me. As the therapists all say from clear studies, that every time there's a fight between a couple, and anger and outrage, it's a call for connection. One spouse saying to the other, you hurt me. And they're expressing that in anger. Hashem is saying, you need to know that you have to come back to me with teichacha. The Soita Hashem is saying to her, I value you. Hashem is not putting his name on something bad. Chas v'shalom. Hashem is saying to the Soita, your actions do not define you. You are good, and therefore come back. Have a relationship with me. Have a relationship with your husband. Bring the presence of God in your home. That's the ultimate lesson. All the bad in our lives, all of our negative actions, all the challenges, we think they're so bad. And Hashem saying, Vayir, there's light, there's positivity. I'm here with you. And this is what the Soita is being told. That Hashem's name is on her. It's with her. Never left her. She doesn't get the message. The name of Hashem is erased. Hashem is with her. What happens? She drinks the drink. And she starts to feel feelings like she's going to die now by miracle. Why does Hashem perform this miracle? Because the Soita thinks I'm gone. I'm in the deep end. I can never come back. This is it. I lied through this all. I didn't admit. I have a kohen here, the holiest man, doing all these acts with me. And I still haven't admit. I'm gone. I can't do tshuva. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will perform a miracle for you. I will show you myself. I will show the world myself in a way I never do. So you can know I'm here with you and you can repent. Up until the last second, as she's dying, Hashem is begging her, please return to me. Hashem is saying, your bad actions aren't you. I want the real you. I want your neshama. I want your positivity. I want your good. You did something horrible. You were a soita. You can come back now as you're dying. If Hashem in this instance pushes the soita with a miracle, how much more so does he want us when we do small things? Small averus, small mistakes, small mess-ups to come back to him. Hashem is always saying, come back to me, my children. I am never letting you go. You're the Soita. It doesn't make a difference. Please come back. Please return. Return to your king. Return to your father. Return to my family. This is the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving the Soita in her last moment. This is why he performs a miracle for her. The Nazir sees the Soita B'Kakula. He says, how much does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want this woman, he's performing a miracle for her, to come back to him? I have to become holier. The beginning of the Parsha looked at the Leviim. You could say, who am I? Who am I? What am I? I can't be so holy. I can't uplift myself. The Leviim, they were born holy. They were born uplifted. Holiness is not defined by your birth. Holiness is defined by your life. Drill that in your head. Holiness is not defined by your birth. Not by a kohen, not by a levi, not by the yichus of some gadol. Holiness is defined by your life. This is what the Nazir saw. Says the Miriam Esther of Tzaduk, some sefer, the Al-Sheikh, that when a person becomes a Nazir, it should never be for self-punishment, for some kind of massacre, because you have to hurt yourself. You like hurting yourself because you did something bad. That's not what God wants. And the language of the Al-Sheikh is so beautiful. It must be read inside. Omnam, he says, Hine Yratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem wants L'lameid es amoy, to teach his nation, Am Kacho, his holy nation. Baal Yaymar Na Yisrael. A person should never say, Halahu Yisbarach Yivdil HaShevet Levi. Hashem separated Shevet Levi. Umehem Ezar Aaron. And from them, they came from Aaron. Aaron's children. Umetoichen Ez Kohen Gadol Meachiv. And they have amongst them the Kohen Gadol. Ki Kadosh Yaymar Loi. Because he was said he's Kadosh. Vayim Tolei HaKadusha Melidam Velo Bechira HaTayvim Hi. Halaikim Ezar Nechshav. It's foreign to hang, to make dependent the holiness upon birth. God came and taught us, it is not true. Ki hinei biyad kol ish ve'ish lifresh minyanei ha'olam l'kadesh atzmoi. Ad gedesh v'toy b'chirasoi. Kadesh lo'im alai. V'koin gadol asher lo yitma lo'aviv gam hu yichashev.
Every single person can separate from the things in this world which bring him down, from the things which distance him, and he can raise up to be like a Kohen Gadol.
Gam hu yichashev. He is also considered a Kohen Gadol.
Kiddusha is not dependent upon birth.
Kiddusha is dependent upon choice.
Hashem doesn't only ask, where did you come from? He asks, who did you decide to become? Again, tell that to yourself. Hashem doesn't ask, who did you come from? What is your yichus? Who is your father? Hashem asks, what did you decide to become in your time in this world? A holy life is not a status. A holy life is choosing. Choosing to know you're uplifted. Choosing to know you're special. Choosing to know you are a yid. So every single person can see that Hashem views them as special. The Nazir does not become a Nazir from seeing a Sota collapse and be a negative person. This Nazir becomes a Nazir, becomes holy, becomes a Kohen Gadol, because he saw that Hashem wants the Sota despite the fact that she fell. Hashem wants the Sota despite the fact that she's in her last moments, despite the fact she's the most despicable, low, horrible thing between any man and his friend. When the Kohen does that with the Sota, and the Nazir sees that that's what the Kohen's doing with the Sota, that he's bringing her to the place where she is loved, cared, and respected, and wanted no matter what she did, the Nazir says, how special am I? How much can I lift myself? When he sees her bilkul kula, when he sees that she, in her low state, is getting pushed to repent, the Nazir says, I have to uplift myself right now. It's only from a positive place, as Rav Tzadik says, as the Ashik says. We have to become more positive, more in touch with our true selves, more in touch with the light within, more in touch with the fact that Hashem loves you. And this is the whole Indian of Gezel Hager that the Parsha got kicked off with. Gezel Hager, it talks about all of a sudden after the Levium and the people, the bad people leaving the camp, the Tommy people, talks about you steal from the Ger. Why is that relevant? Stealing, swearing falsely. Because who's more despicable? We look at people in the world. We say, okay, let's say somebody eats nevela. That's a pretty bad thing. When we think of a religious Jew, generally think of Shabbos and nevela. But you don't look at him as a morally bad person. As in, he could be a nice non-Jewish person. He can be a nice member of society. He's giving in to his desires. He loves cheeseburgers. He loves Burger King. He just can't get over Burger King. He can't get over using his phone on Shabbos. That's what we view as people. That they could be a nice person. They would never hurt a fly. They have certain desires. That's how most people view the world. But if someone steals, he's breaking society. He's breaking the basic human relationships. And not only does this guy steal, there's a newcomer in the community who doesn't have any friends, doesn't have any relatives. He's a convert. And this guy says, ooh, I've got it. If I steal from him, no one's going to back him up. I won't have to give the money to anyone when he dies. So he robs the guy clean. Tells the Torah, when he dies, who do you give to? The Kohen. Explains of Tzaddik that no matter how far you have gone, no matter how distant you've become, no matter how much you've excommunicated yourself from the community and from a Kodesh Baruch Hu's will, you steal from the Ger, you steal from the convert, from the stranger, you have a path back. You think you've hit the bottom with no way up? Tells us the Torah, there is always a way up. Like the Chovos Lova says, and the Pelioid says, if a person does genuine tshuva, Hashem will always create a path back for him.
Even if he stole, he doesn't know where to return it. Tells the Torah, you stole from the ger, you can come back. Not only can you come back, you must come back. I'm creating a path for you. The path for tshuva, for repentance, for connection, for reality with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, for a relationship is never closed. You're the gezel, you're the gazlin, you're the person who steals, you are the soita, you betrayed your husband despite his warnings, you lied to the kayin. And to the last moment, Hashem says, you can come back to me. This is the lesson of Tzadik teaches us in this week's Parsha. And why does that all start off with the Leviim? We have in last week's Parsha, Kos had the Kodesh Kedoshim, the Aron. What's higher and holier than the sweet Aron? The Torah. They're the tops. Then you go to Merari and Gershon, and you think they're not as chashuv. They're not doing so many things. They're carrying other parts of the Mishkan. The Urias, the Krashim, the other not as important parts as the Kodesh Kedoshim, the Aron. And you can really think a general thing in life. There's the most chashuv people. There's the people, the rabbanim, learning Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, Lahalacha, Be'iyun. Then there's the big balei chesed, the people who are powerhousing. They don't sleep, get calls day and night, and they're calling people and helping people nonstop. Then, okay, even if you can't do that, okay, you'll make a lot of money and you'll give a lot to tzedakah. But if you're not the big learner, you're not the big earner, then you just feel like you're nothing. You're not big, you're small. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, when you think that, then you're lost. Then you go and you start falling and you're davening and you're learning. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, we say Gam Haim. The first pasuk says Gam Haim by Nasai, Gam Haim, them also. The rest of the Leviim are just like Gahas. They're just like the carriers of the Kodesh Kedoshim. Because every part of Klal Yisrael is necessary. Every part of Klal Yisrael is one giant unit working in conjunction with one another, working on a team. And all of us are needed. All of us are here for a purpose. And all Hashem wants from you is to do your maximum efforts. And when you do your maximum efforts, you are just like the person in the Kodesh Kedoshim. Hashem does not want from you something that's beyond you. He wants you to try your best. If learning a blat Gemara, learning Mishnayos, learning Halacha is the maximum you can do, then says Rav Moshe Feinstein, that's the highest heights. Then you're in the Kodesh Kedoshim. You're with Kahas. You're carrying the Aron. We all have to know in our lives, every single Jew is carrying the Aron. Every single Jew has more strength than they realize. They have unlimited power because their challenges are exactly what Hashem gave them to lift up. Not everyone is a Rav Moshe Feinstein. In fact, only one person was a Rav Moshe Feinstein. There's a story of the Shlomo Zalman Auerbach where people walk into his home. And he was in the middle of setting up for a Yontif Suda on a Tuesday afternoon. Tablecloths and candles and people were cooking food. And they said, Rebbe, what's going on? He said, you don't know what just happened. He said, what? He said, I'm making a Yontif. You don't even get to understand. He said, what happened? He said, Rav Moshe Feinstein called me on the phone to discuss a Shiloh. I said, what? He said, Rav Moshe Feinstein. Who was like Rav Moshe Feinstein? He called me on the phone to discuss a Shiloh. This is a day to make a Yontif. Shlomo Zalman, that's how he viewed Rav Moshe Feinstein. You make a Yontif when he calls. So should I get depressed because not Rav Moshe Feinstein? Says Rav Moshe Feinstein? No. Because I need you just like you need me. Hashem needs you just like Hashem needs me. Your actions, efforts, and strength are no less valuable than what I'm doing. Because we're all needed. Are there people who are Tamidacham or bigger? Yes. But you are needed for the fabric of reality, for the ruchnistic spiritual heights of Klal Yisrael, of the world functioning, just like the Gadol HaDor is needed. There would be no Gadol HaDor if there would be no Dor. There would be no leader if there would be no nation. There would be no president if there would be no people. Ein Melech B'lo Am. This concept goes so deep that the
that the Svarim explain, if you look at the Leshem, he explains that the whole world was created for us. The highest spiritual worlds of godliness were created for us. And if you aren't here, they're not there either. Hashem wouldn't have created them. So the highest spiritual planes need you. You think they're above you, beyond you, distant from you? No, they're right here with you, dependent upon you every second. The Jewish people who were Mekabel HaTorah. So what's the lesson over here? Says Rav Moshe, and this is the whole concept of the Parsha, that every single Jew is important. Every single Jew's actions matter, and no Jew is ever lost. Most Jews in the world are not involved in the highest levels of Isak HaTorah all time. Maybe a few years in Kollel, maybe you have a couple years longer than that, maybe some people come Rabbanim, but it's the minority of the minority of the minority. So it can't be that a Pashtuni Yid doesn't have the most unbelievable kaychas, because the whole nation is a nation of tzaddikim. So what's the lesson of the Parsha? As Rav Tzadok explains, the Alshach explains, as Sfasem explains, all the Mepharshim explain, is that you are important, that Hashem wants you, that you have an individualistic avodah, and your avodah is needed just like the Gadol HaDor's avodah is needed. That Shemayim v'aretz, that the holy, high, and spiritual worlds would not exist without you. The highest spiritual plane, level, and existence reality was only created for you down here in the physical world. Let's all take in this lesson. Let's all know, like the Ramban says, why all the Nesiim were repeated, that we each have an individualistic avoda, that we each have a purpose, and our purpose is here to fix the world. It's not only for the Gedolim, it's for every kol echad v'echad, every ish v'ish v'yisrael, ish v'ish v'yisrael. We all have a purpose. Hashem wants us. And let's grab onto that. Let's live with that. When you go to work, when you go to learn, when you spend time with your family, know that you have an avoda to do. And know that your avoda is creating the nation which changes everything in heaven, which is the purpose of the world, which is what our leaders are here to lead. We need our leaders, and our leaders need us. The Aron is not in the Kodesh Kodashim without all the other parts of the Mishkan, without the Kerashim, without the Urias, without the simple parts, which seem so really side. They're not the main thing. They're not the show. They are the show, Sister Moshe Feinstein. You are the show, Sister Moshe Feinstein. And Hashem always wants you. So let's make sure we're always coming back to Him. And let's be the most chashiv people we can be. The people that Hashem views us as.